This week on Full Credit to the Boys, we preview every NRL team in 2019, we investigate the seedy world of dolphins, and we chat micropenises. Welcome to Full Credit to the Boys. Well, hello, good morning, good afternoon, good evening, and welcome to Full Credit of the Boys 2019. You can find us on Twitter at FCTTB_podcast. You can find me on Twitter at former_legend. You can find the bloke to my right on Twitter at Sid Punts, all one word. He's a man who this week was featured in Men's Health magazine under the headline, "Get That Beach Bod You Always Wanted." He's a man who knocked back the job of playing to Kim Kardashian on Valentine's Day for Kanye West. And tonight, he's wearing a U-Butte, fair dinkum, she'll be right, cooey, cobber, ScoMo trucker cap. Welcome, Sid.
Yes, thank you. Thank you very much. You do know it's Kanye West, not Kane West.
Is it?
It is.
Is Kane the one that used to be a Sheila that's now a bloke?
You've got no idea about the Kardashians,
that,
do you?
Who's that? Caitlyn.
Caitlyn?
Caitlyn Jenner. She's handsome. Who's more handsome, her or Gladys, you reckon?
Anyway... that Kenny G thing, that was creepy.
Mate.
Who gets that?
He's rapt to be playing in front of an audience.
Yeah, that's true. I was going to get him
it's
to serenade.
Been a dry 10 years.
I was going to get him to serenade Mrs. Sid on Valentine's Day, but we thought we'd just wait till he appears at Mortale RSL. My budget could only allow Craig McLaughlin to come and serenade.
With Rolf Harris.
Not quite the same thing.
Well, is that it? Is that what we do here?
Yeah, that's what we do.
All right, well, let's do this.
This is Brian Henderson.
I'm Alan Jones.
I'm Vivian Chin.
This is Kent Brockman.
I'm Ron Burgundy.
The stories that will hit the headlines tomorrow.
Our first story, it's probably the biggest story that happened over the off-season, Sid.
Yeah.
School bans Valentine's Day after six-year-old tells teacher he would plough her in the next week.
That's great.
This comes from the South End News Network.
I love this kid.
A primary school in Essex has banned all Valentine's Day cards after a six-year-old child wrote to his teacher and told her that he would plough her into next week. What's that mean?
This is great. I love this kid, man.
Governors at Sally's Mound Primary Academy in Great Winkering have promised that there will be a thorough investigation of the incident. One source within the school said, "We originally set up the Valentine's card exercise as part of the creative writing syllabus, but we had no idea that some of the children would find sexually suggestive rhymes on the internet." One of the teachers alerted the head when she got a card that said, "Roses are red, your violets, your eyebrows are fleek. Come to mine after school. I'll plough you into next week." On the plus side, the spelling and handwriting was impeccable, Sid.
Ah, interesting.
Definitely the work of someone above and beyond their expected level at key stage one.
Ah, there's a conspiracy behind this.
Well, the pupil in question has been suspended while the school establishes exactly what has happened. And his father spoke to the newspaper anonymously to say that he was disgusted with the school. But this reminds me, Sid, of that Valentine's Day card that you said one of the brothers at your school sent you.
Yeah.
And it said, "Violets are blue, roses are red. Tell anyone your secret and you'll end up dead."
We were encouraged to send Valentine's Day cards to our teachers and vice versa.
The father of this child said, "I admit he might have got hold of his mum's phone and read some of the texts on there. But to be fair, the teacher doesn't exactly discourage this sort of behaviour with her immaculate complexion and skirts resting 2 inches below the knees."
Mm.
She always has a queue 50 feet long at parents' evening, Sid. Imagine school pickup at that place. All the dads freshly shaved, wearing their best stonewashed jeans.
Yep.
Getting there nice and early to pick up the kids because, you know, dads are good people. A statement from the school confirmed that all female members of staff have been ordered to wear tracksuit bottoms and ponchos until the summer months.
We had one hot teacher that wore short skirts and low-cut tops. Good sort. Always had impeccable makeup. Brother Stephen was his name.
He's now Sister Sally.
FCTTB.
Our next story comes from the Smithsonian Mag, which is a bit of a science mag. See, it's something I subscribe to. And it's
a good read, is it?
Dolphins seem to use toxic pufferfish to get high.
This doesn't surprise me.
Humans aren't the only creatures to suffer from substance abuse problems. Horses eat hallucinogen weeds. Elephants get drunk on overripe fruit. And bighorn sheep love narcotic lichen.
What a narcotic lichen.
No idea. monkeys are attracted to sugar-rich and ethanol-containing fruit. In fact, that may explain our own attraction to alcohol, some researchers think. Now, dolphins seem to have joined the list. Footage from a new BBC documentary, Spy in the Pod, reveals what appears to be dolphins getting high off pufferfish. Pufferfish produce a potent defensive chemical, which they eject when threatened. In small enough doses, however, the toxin seems to induce a trance-like state, said, in dolphins that comes in when they come into contact with it. Jeez, I tell you what, there's an episode of Flipper I'd like to see, Sid. What's that, Flipper? Have I got spare change for a train ticket? You've lost your wallet. You need to get your kid to hospital. Have I got a bunger? The dolphins were filmed gently playing with a pufferfish, passing it between each other for 20 to 30 minutes at a time. Unlike the fish they had caught as prey, they were swiftly torn apart. Zoologist and series producer Martin Bonkoff said that it was the first time dolphins had been filmed behaving this way. Mr. Bonkoff said there had been a real fear that pufferfish were a gateway drug to harder underwater drugs like injecting blue ring octopus ink or smoking hammerhead shark dicks. At one point, the dolphins seemed floating just underneath the water's surface, apparently mesmerised by their own reflections, much like Greg Norman said. The dolphins' expert, deliberate handling of the terrorised pufferfish, Mr. Bonkoff told the Daily News, implies that this is not their first time at the hallucinogenic rodeo, and there have been calls for free pufferfish testing out the front of all underwater music festivals.
Don't let dolphins fool you, Former. They are nasty pieces of work.
Are they?
They've got a real streak in them. They kill their young. They get all rapey. They're like the R. Kellys of the sea. It does not surprise me that young dolphins are partaking in drugs. They're out of control.
F-C-T-T-B. Man refuses to have sex until marriage. Wife finds out his penis is 3 centimetres on honeymoon.
Whoa, what?
Comes from The Observer. A woman was shocked to see her husband's 3-centimetre micro-penis. Geez, there's strong language. For the first time in her life on her wedding night.
I mean, 3 centimetres?
Do they make them that big?
Whoa, 3 centimetres. That's about yay big?
No, yeah.
Wow. I probably shouldn't have drawn it because it is radio, but that's really small.
I don't know why you trace around yours. she posted on a thread on Reddit under the title, Am I an Arsehole? The name of our new segment, Sid, where people go to ask strangers if they're the bad guy in the situation. The internet resoundingly granted her the title of You're Not an Arsehole after reading her outrageous story. The 27-year-old woman dated her husband for 6 months and they're engaged for the next 6 months. Throughout the time of their courtship, they never had sex. Even though her husband wasn't particularly religious, he kept saying he's old-fashioned like that. They got sexual before, but they never did anything serious because her husband would always stop her before things got too far, she says. When they were going to consummate the marriage, read bang, she realised it wasn't actually because he was old-fashioned after all, but he was hiding a small secret, Sid. Geez, you can't satisfy women, can you? I've got a big secret, I've got a small secret. They're never happy.
Never happy.
They had sex like nothing was wrong, even though deep down she felt betrayed.
I don't think she felt anything deep down.
I wasn't bruising the back of that throat. She felt that she was lied to, at least told half a truth. People sympathised with the 27-year-old woman and felt that she was in the right to feel shocked and betrayed. Commenters felt that if he could hide such a big, small secret, what else could he be hiding? Also, the fact that her husband waited to reveal it all until they got married means that he wanted to trap her in a way. This could be the furthest thing from a thirst trap that we've witnessed. Let's hope that a woman is happy with the consolation prize of not being an arsehole while she manages the rest of her marital life with her husband's small penis. I tell you what, this confirms everything you just said to me off air, Sid.
What did I say to you off air?
Women aren't good people. You know, I didn't want to agree with you, but I see where you're coming from now. I mean, put me down for a hashtag me too on that argument, Sid. Now, there's an update to this story. The man is threatening to sue the wife after her post went viral. She confirmed he was debating suing and divorcing her after he realised she had shared the intimate details online, fearing it was a matter of time before he was named.
Wait, he's suing her and divorcing her? Not in that order? In which particular order? They're still together?
If he sues her, can he go for half of everything? I don't know.
I don't understand this.
The woman said, my husband saw my post and he wants to leave and sue me. He wants an annulment, and is considering suing me for a defamation of character.
You'd reckon she'd take an annulment with only 3 centimetres.
There wouldn't even be a tide mark on it, you'd think. He says it's only a matter of time before someone leaks his name. In her initial post, the woman revealed that the couple enjoyed a whirlwind romance and her partner proposed after 6 months of dating. The pair was married 6 months after that. Multiple people commented on her original post about the lack of trust being a big red flag. not a big red knob, but a big red flag rather than the size of a man's penis.
Not a big red flag pole.
But after he discovered her post, some people are now siding with the husband. One person said, oh man, this is actually making me feel somewhat bad for the dude right now. Another one said,
this is making me feel huge.
I feel like I should be doing porn. Another man said, another person said, now that you know he intentionally hid it from you, the best thing for you to do would be to leave him. He tried to trap you into marriage without telling you something that is honestly very important. The commenter said that there is no limit to what the husband may be hiding from her in order to manipulate her. Pretty for sure he won't be sleeping around, Sid, let's be honest. Another person agreed, saying, I usually feel bad for the person in this situation. In fact, I do understand his want not to become two families' laughing stalk. I mean, talk about a low blow. But he still tricked this woman into marrying him while withholding information he knew would affect her decision. Now, this reminds me, Sid.
How could this remind you of anything?
Well, it reminds me of the famous, I don't know if I've told you this before, the Tom Arnold, Roseanne Barr story. Have you heard this?
No, I have not.
So, they were married and then they split up.
Yep.
Roseanne Barr then went on to some show, I think it was on TMZ, and said that Tom Arnold was hung and she did that little finger thing that they all do. Mm-hmm. All the women that you said you don't like. Hung like that, like a little tiny penis.
Yep, yep.
They went to Tom Arnold and he said, even the Concorde looks small in the Grand Canyon.
We started off.
We've hit the
just
ground
where we left off last year. If you're new to the show, no, this is it. This is what we do.
It's a shame to peak this early, but anyway.
Welcome back, everybody.
The NRL news. The NRL off-season from hell, Sid. Where
Wasn't
do we
it?
Begin? Let's just run through this really quickly. I don't really want to go too deep into any of these, but Jarryd Hayne was charged with alleged sexual assault on grand final day.
Yes.
Jack DeBellin was charged with alleged sexual assault just before Christmas.
Yes.
Michael Cheekham.
Innocent. It was a misunderstanding.
Was charged with assault in Coogee.
It was assaulting a taxi driver or something. We've all done that.
Surely that's not against the law, is it?
I didn't think it was.
Oh, wow.
He's fine.
North Queensland's Scott Bolton was arrested in Sydney for a shocking crime scene. We've got audio of that. How can we be lovers if we can't be friends? How can we start over when the fighting never ends, baby? How can we make love if we can't make a mess? How can we be lovers if we can't be friends? I mean, on a day when everyone's so filthy on George Pell, if Scott Bolton doesn't go for 20 years for that... That is a dead set blight on our justice system.
I was going to get him to come round on Valentine's Day, serenade the missus, but that's out the window now.
Tau Tau Moga was charged with assault because he slapped a taxi driver.
Nothing wrong with that.
After a day at the races at Newcastle, it's actually on Boxing Day.
I'm not telling people to go out and slap taxi drivers, but they rip you off.
Yeah. Start with Ubers and then work your way up if you've got to. Greg Inglis was charged, charged with DUI, but he was let off after Todd Greenberg does what he does for every player in the whole league, who does a bit of a mischief. Todd wrote him a wonderful character reference, as he does, and spoke about that he had a bit of bad luck off field, but you know, we could let that go. That'd be great.
Yeah, and GI, he's come out lately saying everyone should behave. And I don't know how any of this works. Todd Greenberg, he should be giving Tau Tau Moga and Cheekam a letter saying it's not that bad to bash taxi drivers.
Well, I believe that also after Greg Inglis put out a thing saying everyone should just pull their head in and behave, Ivan Mlatter said that people should stop killing people too. The Cronulla Sharks were banned from Cronulla Yacht Club.
Does anyone go to the yacht club?
Who knew?
Is that a bad thing?
I wish I was banned from, what's that shithole joint there? Northies. That'd be nice. Dylan Napa had numerous sex tapes released. That whole scene's ongoing with the league looking at, suspending him.
What? I thought Todd Greenberg was going to send him a character reference.
Corey Norman appeared in a historical cocaine-using video.
Yeah.
I mean, we've all been there.
Yeah. Corey's been there several times.
And then, to top it off, Ben Barber was sacked before playing a game for the Cowboys, a game with the Cowboys. It's a bit of a culture thing up there. You've got Bolton, you've got Barber. After CCTV footage emerged of him assaulting his partner at the casino.
Yeah, by all accounts, the footage is quite graphic. And he deserves to be punted. But what about the sob stories now?
Well, you have to feel for Todd Greenberg, Sid. He just doesn't seem to be able to get anything right now. At the moment, he's got all this shit going on. And unfortunately, this is on the week that the NRL had to scrap their launch video after a featured of performance by R. Kelly.
It's two R. Kelly jokes, and we're only 20 minutes in. Going well. It's going to be a big year.
R. Kelly, the new Rolf Harris. Now, speaking of Corey Norman, he was released by the Eels to go to the Dragons since we last spoke on this show.
Oh, Dragons fans will be stoked. He'll tear it up down there.
Well, you know he's just going to bring discipline and a good culture. That's the
That's what they need.
Cameron Smith was re-signed to the Storm for 2 years, which in turn has apparently placed the club in salary cap strife with three players being shopped around to UK clubs.
I don't know what's going on down there because I got the call today to see if I wanted to strap on the boots for him. I was a bit excited. I have been training. I've been playing cricket over the off-season. I think I've got a lot to offer.
Well, is this because of this NRL rule? And I don't want to rain on your parade because I know that you've been waiting for this comeback for the last 20 years.
I have been. I was super excited to announce it. Why?
Do you think it's related to the NRL rule of last on, first off, as far as salary cap squeeze is concerned?
Well, how can they sign someone when they need to shed players?
Well,
how are they in any kind of salary cap strife when they sign Cameron Smith in January, late January, I think?
For a milli season.
A milli season. Everyone's got a mill lying around. I don't know. It's all very strange.
You've got Cronulla might have to shed Sean
not
Johnson.
Not Sean Johnson now. But he's not the last man in now.
But Cronulla went, ha-ha, here's an ace.
Yep.
Put the ace down on the pack and said, no, we've just signed another player. So we've got to release someone. Is it Seguiaro?
Seguiaro overnight.
Seguiaro last off, so Sean Johnson's now safe. And the Tigers.
Do you reckon I'm not safe?
Our own Tigers. Listen. I wouldn't be buying Dankrub. That's all I'm going to say.
All right. They're not paying me much anyway.
Don't worry about a mouth guard.
I got a new boat in the shed, though.
But the Tigers are also in a similar situation.
No, we're not.
We had $600,000 taken off our salary cap.
Yep.
Then we went and signed Robert Jennings.
But this is the thing. The league has said we won't tell any club what their salary cap position is until about week two of the season, which is absolutely ridiculous. So we went and said, do you mind if we pay $400,000 a year for this bloke? They go, sure, no dramas. So does that mean we're getting off? Oh, nobody knows.
Who knows?
It's a good system. Todd Greenberg, wasn't he just the face of league when the very first scandal came out in the off-season? He was right on top of all of this. After about the 40th one, he cancelled his holiday and said, enough's enough.
Well, to be honest, but in Todd's defence, he's had writer's cramp for writing 40 character references.
Him in Vanuatu. Des, he was having a great time.
Des Hasler has taken the unusual step of making every Sea Eagle go and buy an iPad to do homework between training sessions. The last team I remember doing homework was the Australian cricket team. See, how did that end up?
It went very, very well. I'm more concerned that Manly players have to buy their own iPads. Well, what a professional outfit they're running there. They can't even grow grass.
I'm concerned for Dylan Walker because if he's going off his chops over a PlayStation game, what's he going to do with an iPad? If I was Dylan, after today's court appearance, we just go and lease one, Dylan. The option of getting it back in about 2 weeks' time.
Do we know how Dylan went there today?
You're not good.
Did he have a...
It's not painting him a good picture, although
he has got a reference.
Final story to come into the off-season, Ray Hadley has declared war again on Josh Masood after it was revealed that the Eels had employed the disgraced journalist in giving their players media training. Now, Hadley versus Masood, Sid. Gee,
wow.
It's a tough one to know who to cheer for.
The
there.
Pay-per-view there would be through the roof.
You thought Gallon v. Hopewadi was a tough one to pick a winner or who you were going for. Now, it's given me an idea for a bit of a fight night.
Sid. Yeah, let's have a fight night. Who am I fighting?
No, you don't have to. Or maybe Cameron Smith. Here's a couple of fights I'd like to see on the undercard.
Mm-hmm.
Buzz Rothfield versus Denny Widler.
Yeah, that'd be cool.
Who would you cheer for?
Oh, that's a tough one. I'd have to go Danny.
So
go Danny.
It's the moccasins that's got me over the line. Kyle Sandilands versus a kale salad. Who would you go for?
I like Kyle. I hate kale salad.
Pete Evans versus Ian Huey Hewitson.
It did not matter who you said after Pete Evans. I was going for them. Go, Huey.
Pete Evans versus cock blisters. Cock blisters every day. Smash me up.
I would take cock blisters every day.
The all-new Today Show versus Koshy and Samantha Armitage.
Wait. Is the all-new Today Show still running?
It's on life support from last reports. Rugby Union versus AFL versus A-League in a cage match.
AFLX.
We're going to get onto that soon.
I hope we do. It's fascinating.
Actually. Johnson, a step up.
For the heavyweight championship of the world.
This is a famous victory. It's going to be Australia too.
Sports News.
AFL. That's right. Talk about a boring old off-season, Sid. This is a code that's let themselves down. They've let their code down. They've let their fans down. I mean, you have to feel for AFL because when it comes to generating headlines in the off-season, there's a game that's struggling.
Yep.
It's clueless and directionless. In fact, I'll go as far to say that they are in some sort of crisis, Sid. While the NRL get up to their hijinks and tomfoolery, the AFL have now resorted to a preseason hybrid game designed by crackheads called AFL Meth or something.
Yep.
You have to feel for Dylan Napper, Sid, who tried to answer on the NRL's behalf to the new AFLX by releasing a bunch of Dylan Napper X videos.
Yeah, he really did cop a hiding, Dylan Napper. People asking, what were you thinking? What drugs were you on? You must be horrified that the public have seen this. Why aren't they asking the same questions about AFL?
Well, Dylan thought they were talking about the AFL.
What were they thinking with this rubbish? What drugs were they on?
Oh, there's a special player. He gets double points.
What is that? That's like a video game thing. It's madness.
Did you see the entries? Did you see them all walking in? One bloke came in on a motorized skateboard.
Yeah, yeah.
There was not a bloke there you didn't want to bash by the end of that.
No, that's true. Who was your favourite team? Do you know what they were called?
Oh, I've got no idea.
The Bolts? The Flies? The Deadlies? Or the Renegades? Which was your favourite?
The Bolts?
You don't even know if I made them up or not.
I mean,
what a great spectacle it was.
I wish rugby league would try something different like that. NRLX, NRL meth. Cricket. Australia was badly beaten by India for the first time on home soil in a test series, but then convincingly spanked the Sri Lankans in a two test to nil, Sid.
Yeah, I'm not sure about the cricket this year. The whole season, I don't know. It was a shambles. I've actually played more games of cricket this year than I've watched. I didn't know when games were on. I've got Foxtel. The whole Foxtel Channel 7 thing is not good for cricket. The less said about cricket, the better.
Rugby Union, the Super 12s.
Actually, let's talk about cricket.
Back to cricket. The Super 12s or the Super 15s or whatever the hell it's called has started or finished. I'm not actually sure, to be honest, but I'll bet the Australian teams are going like busted asses. Can't beat a Kiwi team.
They played at Brookvale the other day. There's no grass there. But they still got like more people to watch that shite than about 9 Manly games.
Did they clear the dogs off the field before they played, or they just play around them? Tennis. The Australian Open has been run and won yet again, Sid. The most exciting week in Australian sport for nerds once again culminated for the 25th time in a row, being won by a bloke named Federer or Nadal, while the women's title was claimed by Naomi Osaka. Osaka.
Hey, did
move on.
No Aussies won. Don't we? Doesn't an Aussie always win the Australian Open?
Oh, I think so. Yeah, very unlucky.
Yeah, very unlucky this year.
It was Naomi Osaka's second Grand Slam title, although this time she wasn't booed by 30,000 hillbilly Americans.
Was that all that Williams caper?
Yeah.
So she's won one fair and square now.
Gridiron. Jesus. Gridiron. The New England Patriots have won their 6th Super Bowl against the Rams last month. And since then have been on some sort of party tour around the USA where players, coaches and officials have been ripping in to celebrate the historic win. Now, among those enjoying the good times has been Patriots 77-year-old owner Robert Kraft.
Hasn't even gone well.
Well, after a heady few weeks, the old boy decided he really needed was a good massage to ease all those aches and pains that
at 77,
77-year-old body.
Yeah, he'd be creaking and cracking. And
so he shipped himself off to the Orchids of Asia Day Spa in Jupiter, Florida.
Sounds legit, man. That sounds legit. Poor old fella. Keep going.
Unfortunately for Kraft, the Orchids of Asia Day Spa was under surveillance by police for illegal sexual activities occurring in the massage parlor industry. I mean, who knew?
That doesn't happen, does it?
How sharp are these coppers? I mean, you've got to be real sharp to be a copper these days. The Jupiter Police Chief, Daniel Kerr, Wayne's brother, said he was shocked to learn that Kraft, who is worth $6 billion, Sid, was allegedly paying for sex inside a strip mall massage parlor. Daniel Kerr said, "We are as equally stunned as everyone else, Sid."
It's a misunderstanding.
Move on.
I feel sorry for him. Is that where he thought, like, no one's going to look here? And that's where they were looking.
What do you... I've got a inside tip that the girl that was helping finish old, what's his name?
Kraft.
Robert Crafty. Crafty, the cheese man, the singles. I've got a word on the street that the young Asian lass decreed with the job of finishing off that 77-year-old man was none other than Lee King Kum.
Thought you were going to go with Wang Licken.
I'm not an animal. Cricket! I want to take you back in history, Sid.
Okay.
Do you remember 1983?
I do remember 1983.
It was famous for two big sporting achievements.
Okay.
Australia 2 won the America's Cup.
Yep.
And in December of 1983 is when the current season of the Big Bash began. Mate, what about that?
It just went on and on and on.
How come the shortest form of the game takes 2 years to find a winner? It's now a game that goes for 3 hours but lasts 3 years to win a title.
They're saying next year AFLX will run from March through to March. It's going to be good.
Some of the players have been married and had 3 kids in the time it took for the season to end. We talk about a long and drawn-out season. Aaron Finch began the season as the Australian Test Open, and by the time the season ended, he was captain of the Renegades and applying for his pensioner's card.
Yep.
Remember when the Big Bash was a time of joy and fun, a bit of hit and giggle, and we'd all sit around and watch? Now it's like going to the dentist for root canal surgery. It all ended up, fittingly, going off in a whimper as the Melbourne Stars shat their dacks chasing down a tiny total against crosstown rivals, the Melbourne Renegades, but quite frankly, we gave up caring a long time ago.
Yeah, this last game was a bit ridiculous. The Stars only needed 53 runs off 43 balls at none for 93 against the Melbourne Rampage. Know who they are? No, I didn't think so. And they blew it. They lost 7 for 19 and totally shat themselves. But as I was saying before, that season was way too long. Cricket season this year was all too long. It's all discombobulated. I don't understand when games are on, why we skip back and forth through formats. The Big Bash should be during the school holidays and all other cricket should stop.
Well, I remember, it would have only been about 5 years ago, you could watch the cricket, you'd flick over and watch the tennis, and you actually quite enjoyed watching sport in summer. Right now, there's nothing for me to watch.
I agree. But well, you do watch something.
You porn, but I mean, that's not sport.
Married at First Sight.
We'll get onto that later.
Oh, that's not.
What I'm about to launch in. But yeah, I mean, Jesus, it's just nothing to watch. There's nothing.
Well, obviously,
the golf's no good. We don't get anyone to come down here and play. The tennis is shit because it's just boring. We haven't got an Australian that's got a cooey chance of winning a title.
I know what you're getting at. We need NRLX
no.
in the off season. I see what you're saying.
I don't know what we need, but
I understand
what we've
now.
Got right now ain't it. Full credit to the boys. All right, Sid. The bane of my existence.
That was a big sigh.
Every Tuesday.
Really?
Yeah. Oh. Anyway, this will be the first one down.
31
to
go.
It's time for this. We all want you to go grab a mirror. We're all hoping that you'll change your way. And no message could be any clearer. If you want to make the world a better place, take a look at yourself and make a change. Yeah, make a change. Grab a mirror for the first time in 2019. Now, don't forget, hashtag your grab a mirror entries with hashtag GAM, hashtag grab a mirror, all one word.
You can have a bit more enthusiasm.
I'd really appreciate it if you replied to my original tweet on a Tuesday morning. It makes it easier to go and find them.
What a sook.
Shut up, mate.
You're the victim of your own success. It's the world's greatest podcast segment in all of the world.
Of podcasting.
Of podcasting around the whole world.
I'm going to go first.
Stop whinging. Go!
It's a serious one. There won't be much
really?
Laughs in this.
Wow, way to bring down the whole show, man.
But grab a mirror, any AFL fan / commentator / player / official who has had a crack at the NRL off-field dramas over the off-season. Sid, as you know, I listen to a fair few Triple M podcasts from Melbourne because I have to. Won't say why. So I get to hear Victorians constantly having a crack, having a laugh, or acting outraged at the NRL off-field antics, especially over the past off-season. Now this week, former St Kilda legend and AFL golden boy Nick Riewoldt came out and spoke up, claiming recreational drug with use within the AFL is, and I'll quote this, out of control.
What?
Accusing players of rorting a flawed system for their own benefit. The topic was brought into the spotlight last week when Riewoldt's ex-coach Grant Thomas said that when he left St Kilda at the end of 2006, a former player told him drug use was rife at the club. That prompted 3AW radio host Ross Stevenson to claim 16 players at a single club were avoiding drug tests by using the mental health card as an excuse. But Collingwood president and AFL cheerleader Eddie Maguire rubbished that suggestion. Now, I'm just going to quote Riewoldt here. He said, it's a bit long, but just if you can listen, that'd be great. It's pretty out of control. It's out of control now because the players can get away with it. The AFL, by their own admission on their own website, say that the policy is designed to do is to identify players with substance abuse issues and place support around them to protect their health and well-being. Now the vast majority of players don't have substance abuse issues. They're taking the piss because the system allows it. Hair testing in the off-season and during the season, that's only to identify the numbers. There's no recourse. There's no ramifications. It's a free-for-all. It depends on what your definition of out of control is. I would say it's out of control. What I would say is if they're serious about getting the number close to zero, remove the safety net the players are using. If players have a legitimate substance abuse issue, then getting a suspension on their first detection is probably the least of their worries. They need to get their life together. The blokes that are doing it just because they can, because the system allows them to get away with it, you're telling me that if they get a four-week ban for their first detection that they're going to do it? I don't think they're that stupid. They're not going to do it because they're going to get suspended and everyone's going to know. So, Sid, I've done a little bit of investigation here on the AFL drug testing policy, and I've just put some points forms down here.
Hit me.
This is how flawed it is.
Okay.
The AFL drug testing policy. The testing is generally focused on stimulants, including cocaine, ecstasy and amphetamines. Sedatives, ketamine and GHB are also on the testing list. Illicit drug tests are generally done over the weekends and early in the week when players are celebrating or socialising and are separate to match day testing for performance enhancing drugs, which players also randomly undergo. Aside from urine testing, testing of hair strands, which can confirm drug use over the previous 3 months has conducted through the preseason, particularly when players return from a break. However, a positive hair test does not incur a strike. It has been used to determine if there's a wider issue at the club, with club footy bosses having access to this information. Clubs can organise extra testing if required. Wouldn't think so. AFL medical directors and the players' club doctors, but not club management, are told if there is a positive first test. Upon a second strike, a player will be named publicly, fined and suspended for 4 matches. First strike sparks a suspended $5,000 fine, counselling and target testing, but the player remains anonymous. Second strike, obviously, you 4-match suspension. A third strike incurs a 12-match suspension. Strikes must be within 4 years of each other. In 2013, it emerged 20 players through 2012 had used a self-reporting loophole to avoid a strike. They're admitting to possible drug use before being tested and were given counselling and nothing more. Under a rejig system, following Collingwood chief executive Gary Pert's claim that there had been volcanic off-season behaviour, players were restricted to self-reporting only once in their career, so they can still do it. Demetriou, the boss at the time, defended the policy, declaring that he was trying to save players' lives by letting them self-report. Over the past year, another loophole has emerged, with suggestion players had escaped testing or a strike, having claimed mental health issues. Some within the game complained that some players take advantage of the mental health exemption, which effectively prevents the player from being tested and suspended for a period of his treatment for mental health issues.
Awesome loophole.
Sounding familiar. We've long held the view here at Full Credit the Boys that the AFL have just as many bad news stories, just as many skeletons in their closets as the NRL. It's just that the AFL, rightly or wrongly, manage their bad news far better than the NRL has and ever will. But if we look at the AFL's handling of illicit drug sin and their history of players falling off the rails, then perhaps keeping skeletons in the closet costs more people further down the track. It'd be quite easy here to dwell on the train wreck that is Ben Cousins and how he detailed how he ducked and dived drug testing in his playing days in his book. And you'd have to look too far to find former premiership winning coach Mark Bomber Thompson, who was recently arrested for possession and trafficking drugs.
Good point.
And this week, Melbourne great David Schwartz has implored the boss of the AFL's Players Union to listen to concerning claims around player drug culture and act promptly to avoid potentially dire consequences. He said, and I quote, "I for one know that I have at least a dozen ex-teammates that are drug affected because of their drug use while playing, and I'm categorical about that. I played 20 years ago." And he told that to Macquarie Sports Radio. So what am I saying here, Sid? I'm saying that by all means, have a crack at the NRL for their off-season because it's been an absolute disgrace in many ways. But please, for the love of God, please don't hold the AFL up as the last beacon of decency and hope, because they aren't. So grab a mirror, all you AFL hypocrites, and not just to do a line off it.
Equal 10.
At Mr. Barjas, Bargy. I mean, he came to the live show, didn't he?
He did indeed.
I hope all of
good man, Bargy,
can find someone who looks at you the way Bargy looks at me. Hashtag grab a mirror rugby league off-season. It's far too long. Stupid player behaviour was entertaining, but it got violent and rapey. Big Bash went about 18 months too long. Plus, no new Full Credit the Boys in my ear holes to pass the time. Hashtag about fucking time. Hashtag welcome back, boys.
Well done, Bargy.
Equal 10.
Pretty much covered exactly what we've said thus far.
At Mario Siegs says, grab a mirror, the Daily Telegraph Sport, and he put them in the tweet.
Love that.
For failing to make a connection between George Pell and the NRL. Hashtag crisis.
Equal 10.
At BJ O. Rosenberg says, hashtag grab a mirror, Greg Inglis. Seriously, if ever there was a dude who needs a bit of self-reflection, it's Greg. Fresh from dodging a zebra suntan for mid-rage drink driving, he describes player behaviour as the worst he's seen. Actually, maybe he has hashtag grab a mirror already.
Equal 10.
At Efficient Not Lazy says, hashtag grab a mirror the neighbours who brought their child a drum kit for Christmas.
Yeah.
It's been 2 months now and your sprog rocket hasn't improved. I've heard better drumming from monkeys at the zoo in a bucket. You've let yourself down and the street down. Maybe try the triangle.
Do not make any complaints Efficient, not lazy.
Well, I'd like Efficient, not lazy to supply the address of that neighbour so we can send that young kid a recorder to have a practice on. Equal
10.
The aforementioned at Mr. Barjar says, grab a mirror. The magnificent bastards at the NRL accounting department put them in it for working out that joining forces with the integrity unit and constantly issuing fines to the at Cronulla Sharks put them in it will forever keep the game in the black. Hashtag perfect business model. Hashtag fuckers don't learn. Hashtag they even dob themselves in.
Genius.
Equal
10.
At one Farkor. Grab one. A mirror. Folks who try to muscle in on the at FCTTB underscore podcast name. By trying to imitate said show, you may well receive a visit from lawyers, police, or the at FCTTB stats lab crew. All three for different reasons.
That was very interesting, wasn't it? People pointed it out to us that full credit to the boys had popped up in France, I believe. It wasn't us.
No.
Some shonk out there.
This is the last equal 10.
Oh, really?
Yep.
Equal 10.
At Beerboy182, and he says, hashtag grab a mirror, my anus. You had one job to do on Thursday afternoon. That was to brew a magnificent rectal rocket to deposit on Boris Berejiklian's doorstep in protest, and you went off rogue and evacuated 4 hours early in the Bondi Beach public toilets. You deserve that Pacific Ocean burial.
Everything's about his bunghole, beer boy. Did you see that was a Facebook group?
Yes.
Drop a deuce on Boris Berejiklian's doorstep. Go Australia. I love that kind of stuff.
9.
At Chirpin D's says, hashtag grab a mirror God. He cost me $1,900 in excess for hail damage to two cars. Ooh. Hashtag low bloke. Hashtag couldn't he have hit the eastern suburbs instead. That is a hashtag. Hashtag, this is how it... this is how... Well, what's that say?
This is... This...
Oh, this is how atheists are formed. Put an eye on atheists, brother.
Whew. That's it.
That's it.
Good tweet. Let's get away. Bad hashtags.
8.
At Andrew, RLP. Says, grab a mirror PlayStation for causing domestic violence.
7.
Move on.
Moving on straight away.
At blocked user 2217 says, hashtag grab a mirror last week's Tinder date. 2 hours of conversation that didn't deviate from your four kids, your bloody mother's group, and Paleo Pete Evans was more than any sane bloke could cop.
Oh, God.
Hope you got home safe. Hashtag cut and run. Hashtag mamma mia. Hashtag self-pleasure.
Gonna see her again?
I'm gonna be honest, the self-pleasure one wasn't there. I added that myself.
Did you really?
Yeah.
6.
At Jaggers underscore N says, unbelievable that former underscore legend and at Sid Punts can host such a great potty and not provide the creditors with any insight on boom rookies for super coach. Hashtag grab a mirror. Hashtag milk the cash cow. Hashtag what was former's average. Hashtag gun or spud. How much do you like Supercoach? Because I love it. This is good fun.
I'm not going in Supercoach this year. It's no good.
I made him a captain.
Did you, mate?
Did you, mate? Good on you.
5.
Speaking of making someone a captain, hashtag, sorry, this is from at Cliffy Neathway. Hashtag grab a mirror, DeBellin. For Christ's sake, put on a shirt. Surely there's a fabric he's not allergic to.
4.
At Mitch underscore T13 says, hashtag grab a mirror myself for letting my bogan brother use my phone. Don't think the bosses appreciated having my phone ring in a meeting and all you can hear is Kevin Bloody Wilson sing Do You Fuck on First Date.
Yeah, that's great. Your brother's a legend.
Your go.
All right, it's my go. I got a bit serious too, like you did with your grab a mirror.
Oh, about super coach. Sorry.
Grab a mirror, bird watchers. I personally can think of nothing more boring than getting on the binoculars, going out for a walk in the wilderness to try and spot a Himalayan snowcock or a black-breasted tit or a masked booby. Actually, a black-breasted tit will be all right.
I'd cop that.
But bird watching apparently is a thing, former.
I think that's in one of my Twitter searches, actually.
Bird watchers.
Black-breasted tit.
Bird watchers from all around the UK got harder than a woodpecker's lips the other day when word got out around the bird watching community that a bird that has not been spotted for over 22 years had been spotted in Scotland. The deep-throated swallow had bird watchers and greenies super excited that this majestic bird was back in the UK. A group of 80 bird nerds gathered to see it soar across the skyline directly into a wind turbine and it died. That I would have gone to watch. Stupid greenies cheering on a bird and it flies into their own wind turbine. So grab a mirror, bird watchers. That's all I got.
I'll tell you what.
What?
Have you been following the Peter Twitter
account? Oh, how good is it?
Are they fair dinkum?
Someone there's off their chops, taking the piss, right? They're great.
I thought they were hacked. I actually thought they were hacked.
But that's constant.
It never ends. Yeah, no, you're right.
They were in a Steve Irwin the other day.
Yeah. All right.
Keep going.
Three. At Big Mac Keeper says, hashtag grab a mirror, public transport and the lowlives who do one of the following. One, brush your teeth. Two, change a shitty nappy that has exploded up the back of a child's back. Three, do push-ups. Four, use wipes to have a shower. Five, read Buzz Rothfield articles. Six, shave your legs, all with no Coke bottles in sight.
Two.
At Big Mac Keeper says, grab a mirror, me. I can't speak French, so I'm looking for free translation apps for today's podcast.
What got the number one?
One.
Now, we've only had one occasion previously where someone got the third, the second, and the first.
Wow.
Grab a mirrors.
And today's not that day.
At Cricket Flog says, hashtag grab a mirror, future generations of kids who will associate the term rugby league wing with a section of jail rather than an actual field position.
Good point.
Hashtag soap knock-ons not recommended. Hashtag hopper cavity searches not nice.
We all want you to go grab a mirror. We're all hoping that you'll change your ways. No message could be any clearer. If you want to make the world a better place, take a look at yourself and make a change.
All right, Sid, with 2019 fast approaching in the NRL season, we thought we would do something a little bit more organised this year as compared to other years.
We're never organised at this time of year.
So not only did we prepare a team-by-team analysis of 2019, we also thought we'd get a third person on, a voice of reason.
An expert, if you will.
A man with knowledge, which would be absolutely new to this show.
Yep.
We thought we'd get one of our ex-guests on and one of our favourites, Andrew Ferguson from Rugby League Project. Are you there, mate? Can you hear us? Come in, Andrew.
Yeah, mate, I'm here.
All right.
I'm always here.
Now, well, you will be. Just before we go on, Andrew has a Patreon. Describe what goes on there, Andrew, and how people can subscribe and what they get for their money.
Yeah, look, it's a Patreon account to support Rugby League Project, the website I own. So you go to www.patreon.com/RLproject. It's mostly just a whole heap of random stats and updates on what the site's doing, but we'll also have in there some subscriber-only content like footy tipping stats and stuff we're going to put through, and got a few other ideas and stuff up our sleeve that we haven't organised at all yet that we want to do. So you go on there, you can make a donation from as little as $1 a month to, you know, pay my mortgage a month, you know, that sort of thing. So, you know, go nuts on there.
And if you're a serious punter or you want to give yourself every opportunity to win your tip and comp at work, then this probably wouldn't be a bad idea, said to me.
I thought people would tune in to listen to me for that.
I wouldn't think so.
Make a fortune on my tips.
Stopping trains.
Whatever.
Well, without further ado, let's do this. It's the 2019 preview and predictions, Sid, and we'll begin with Brisbane. $8 are their odds to win the competition in 2019, boys. In comes Anthony Seibold, straight from the Bunnies, and also Sean O'Sullivan, a player I've got a big rap on. Out goes Wanye Bennett. Also out goes Darius Boyd-Smile,
yep.
Josh Maguire, Sam Thaiday and Corbin Sims. So some big losses there.
Any word on who's been training the house down up there, former?
Well, I'll tell you what. My man at Red Hill tells me Gahame Shibasaki has been enormous in the off-season. Not only has he been enormous, he goes well with the sweet and sour sauce, Shibasaki.
That's a big name. Where'd you pluck that one
from? Number 24 on the list there at the best Chinese takeaway at Red Hill.
Yeah, nice.
Boys, where have we got them coming? Andrew, we'll go to you as the expert. First of all, where do you think Brisbane will run?
I've gone sort of a tentative fourth place. Mind you, I've got a bit of a log jam there and from about fourth down to tenth. So I sort of have them as the best of the second best sort of lot.
I've got a log jam from second down to 15th. I found this very difficult. I've got them coming sixth.
And just a newsflash, just in between takes there, I went up to your toilet, so you got a log jam there.
You don't
as well.
Have a log jam anymore?
No.
Hope you flush this time.
After doing my inserting teams as I went today, this afternoon, I somehow have Brisbane running 12th.
Really? Interesting.
The only thing I feel good about that is that they have had some decent losses with Maguire, Thaiday, and also Sims. However, I'm not sure 12th will be entirely accurate, but...
I don't think any of your predictions will be entirely accurate.
Don't worry about it. There's some good stuff coming.
Excellent.
Boys, is the coach under the pump?
Yes. A lot has been said about Seibold only being a new coach. He has a long-term deal up there, and his manager should be congratulated for that. But I think if he doesn't perform, he will definitely be under the pump.
Andrew?
Yeah, he's under the pump, mate. His name's not Bennett, so you know they'll probably find a way to sack him before the end of the Bennett contract ends and get Wayne back up there for a swan song.
I think as long as he can handle Darius White anting him, he should be okay up there. Andrew's super stat. What do you got for the Broncos, mate?
Right, well, 2018 saw the NRL's most nocturnal team play just 13 of their 24 regular season games on a Thursday or Friday night, and it didn't augur too well for them, because they lost big time in the first week of the finals. But that's been rectified this year because they've got 14 games.
14 games? Oh, they're right then.
It's that extra game. Their win percentage in finals improves a bit just by having that extra game there on the Thursday or Friday night.
All right.
That'll get them to fourth.
What about former? You got any stats for us?
Darius Boyd has set a new record of just over 19 litres of tears spilt since Wanye Bennett left in the off-season.
Is that accurate?
That's a massive stat.
I don't know. I'm going with Andrew's being more accurate than your stats, but anyway.
Expect Darius to be dehydrated for the first 2 or 3 months of the year. Boys, we move on to Canberra, who are paying the juicy odds of $21 to win the comp. In comes Sharns Nickel Klokstad and John Bateman from England. Out goes Shannon Boyd to the Titans, Junior Paulo goes to the Eels, and Blake Austin went to Warrington.
And you've been down there training Canberra.
Yep.
Who's training hard?
Royce Hunt.
Royce Hunt.
Old five-off, they call him, has impressed everyone in the off-season, gaining size in the weights room to be the second biggest Hunt in Canberra, just behind Ricky, who is a massive Hunt.
Yeah, interesting.
Where have you got them coming, Sid?
I've got them coming eighth.
Have
I've
you?
Got him sneaking into the eight.
What about you, Andrew? Where have you got Ricky's Raiders finishing?
Yeah, I've got him finishing eighth as well.
I've got him at seventh. So yeah. We're all around the mark there. Boys, yeah. Is the coach under the pump?
He should be, but I get the feeling that they're going to sneak into the eight and he will be rewarded handsomely with a new contract.
Andrew?
Nah, mate, he's there for the next 40 years. He's got a mortgage down in that place.
It's pretty much my answer as well. It's Ricky, please. What about Andrew's super stat for the Raiders, mate?
All right, well, the Raiders' attack is one of the best in the NRL over the last 3 years, but it's one of the worst when it comes to tight games. You know, it's no coincidence that in the last 2 years, since the death of Dr. Henry Heimlich, because the Raiders have been choking pretty hard in those close games.
It's true.
I actually had to research that too.
What stats have you got, former, that you are highly researched?
Well, despite all the shit that he cops, mainly from you, Sid, Ricky Stewart's win record at the Raiders is actually his second highest winning percentage as a club coach. Sure, it's only at 46%, but that's still better than his fantastic 41% at the Sharks and his very, very unlucky 20% at the Eels.
So you can't compare your poor stats against each other and say these are better. They're rubbish stats.
Oh, there's good stuff coming.
Excellent, excellent.
Next up are the Bulldogs boys. $51 you can have if you want to back them for the win. In comes Jack Cogger, Suasu Sue, Corey Harawira-Neira, and Christian Crichton. Out goes Brett Morris, Josh Morris, David Clemmer, and Greg Eastwood.
And who's been training the house down over at Belmore?
Well, not only my Bankstown secret operative tells me that John Olive not only has beautiful skin and a wonderful complexion, he's also been working very hard in the weights room with a couple of the new recruits, including Peter Sundried Tomato, Carl Camembert, and Walter Cracker. So Olive, Tomato, Camembert, and Walter Cracker should make a great combo.
This sounds delicious.
Prediction?
I've got them coming 13th. I don't think they've bought anywhere near enough good players to improve on last year.
Andrew?
Yeah, I've got them surprisingly high at 9th.
Wow.
I don't know why. I'm still trying to convince myself as to why I put them there, but I don't know why yet.
Mate, maybe don't do the drinking when you do the statting at the same time.
Who do you go for? Who do you follow?
Tigers.
Shit.
Jeez, you weren't real confident.
Yeah.
I've got the Bulldogs running 15th. I don't see them doing anything.
Yeah, you talked them up to me last year before the season kicked off. You convinced me that they would go
get
better.
Off them. Get off them.
Yeah, I'm back to being off them.
Yeah. Is the coach under the pump, Sid?
Yes.
Thanks for that.
That's
good.
All I've got to say about
that. Deep. Andrew, something more than yes.
No, look, I don't think he is. I think he's probably got 2 years in him before they start thinking about pumping him out because he hasn't really had a chance to sort of run the team his way yet.
I reckon he's under the pump this year.
I might be wrong, but I think this is his last season at the moment under a contract. With them starting to clear their salary cap pressures, I wouldn't be surprised to see the Dogs start shopping around for a coach if someone comes on the market that, especially if they're still in the bottom four as I expect them to be.
I totally agree with that.
Andrew's super stat. What do you got for the Dogs, mate?
Well, they've been the worst attacking side out of all the NRL teams since 2007. But they ended the year last year, the last five games, as one of the three best attacking teams behind the Cowboys and the Broncos. I don't know if that will continue, but that's the only thing that's positive about what's going on there at the moment.
And I do know it won't continue. Well, at least we're positive there for a second. What do you got, Former, and your amazing stat?
Well, just with the loss of Clemmer and the Morrises, it looks like what will be a lean season for the Bulldogs. I don't think the representative season will actually bother them too much.
No, it shouldn't.
Boys, the Sharks, $17, juicy odds, some would say. In comes Josh Morris and Sean Johnson, although he might be first out. Out go sponsors. Out go Shane Flanagan, Jesse Ramian, Edric Lee, Joe Paulo, Ricky Latelli, Kurt Dillon, and the retired Luke Lewis. Also, the NFL superstar, Valentine Holmes.
That's a lot of outs. All they brought in is
Josh Morris and Sean Johnson.
Yeah.
Yeah, so...
Any word on the street who's training the house down for me?
Yeah, Jason Bukkake has creamed them in the preseason. He can't wait for round one to come. He's absolutely frothing at the moment.
Yeah, righto.
Prediction, Sydney.
I've got them coming third. They've got a good squad, but rookie coach and salary cap penalties will have an impact. And as we said before, we may not see Seguiaro, even though they just bought him. He might be last in, first out. We'll see what happens there.
Andrew, where have you got them running, mate?
I've got them dropping down to 7th, and I think they'll just sneak into the top 8. I think there's too many changes there this year.
Yeah, I've got them at 10th. I think they'll miss the 8. There's a few old legs there, and I'm not sure bringing in Sean Johnson and Josh Morris will fill some of the holes that have been left by some of their forwards, and I think they'll miss Luke Lewis badly. Is the coach under the pump, Sydney?
No. The Sharks had no other option on a shoestring budget but to go with Johnny Morris. And no matter where they finish, he will get a couple more seasons there, I reckon.
Andrew, coach under the pump, mate?
Yeah, he's only going to last this year, mate. Gallup will be coach next year.
That's a good point. I didn't think of that.
Solid.
Solid.
I think he's under the pump as well. I think comparisons to Flanagan will begin. before they get to the representative season, and especially if they're outside the top eight.
Jeez, you don't want to be compared to Flanagan for so many reasons.
Well, if he is being compared to Flanagan, probably wouldn't hurt for him to go and learn how to lay some tiles just to be safe. Andrew's super stat for the Sharks. What do you got, mate?
Oh, well, history suggests that they won't make the finals this year because they've already played in four straight finals campaigns, but never since 67 have they ever played in five straight series.
Interesting.
Also, the fact they've got a new coach, a new 5'8", and that old man at lock, whose first game was so long ago that Parramatta only had 12 wooden spoons, they may struggle to have any cohesion there this year, I think.
Does raise some good points. What about your stats for the Sharkies?
Bronson Zeri, XERRI, this guy they're all frothing about,
aren't they?
Is going to join other great players with the surname beginning with X, Andrew. Maxim Zaremchenko from Russia in 1992, and the great Anthony Zureb, who played for Malta, Penrith, and the Western Suburbs in from 91 through to 92.
I actually knew there was a Zureb.
So there you go. They're the only guys with their surnames beginning with X that played rugby league of any note.
Have you checked with Andrew?
It's where I got the stats from.
Well done.
The
well
rugby
done.
League project.
It must be true then.
The Titans are at $41 to win the competition. Out goes Connie Hurrell and Kane Elgee. In comes Tyrone Peachey, Shannon Boyd, Tyrone Roberts, and Riley Jacks.
They're not bad names there, but who's been training the house down up there for
me? A guy by the name of Jay Whitbread, the crust, the wholemeal, the rye, the mixed oats, the loaf, has apparently been braining them in the preseason. Expect a big season from a man they call Footlong.
You should have said he'd been graining them. Anyway.
Where have you got him running at, Andrew?
Look, I'm not confident in the Titans this year. I've got them down in 15th.
I've got them coming in at 16th. I think they've bought a few good players and they're not real bad, but I just can't get excited about them. 16th for me.
Every year I can't get excited about them, and every year they actually perform higher than I think they will. So with that in mind, I only go 11th. No massive confidence on them, but, you know, enough to get them in the worst of the bottom half, top of the bottom half.
The worst of the bottom half.
Anyway.
Yeah, I like that.
Is the coach under the pump, Sydney?
Yes, the whole club is under the pump. They should all be relocated. So it's a big yes from me.
Coach under the pump up there, Andrew?
Absolutely.
I don't think he is, unless they start the season losing their first half dozen on the trot. I think you might be pretty safe. You got a massive stat, a super stat, Andrew, for the Titans?
Yeah, you know, they're a young side, and typically young fellas, the Titans have a good record of going hard early but failing to last the distance. In history, from round 16 to the end of the year, they've won just 34.43% of their games.
Interesting. They do fall away. And former, do you have any stats?
Yeah, Coach Garth Brooks is heading into his second year of coaching the Titans. In his first year, he finished with just 8 wins. Yet in his other career as a country music singer, he won 13 Grammy Awards, Sid.
That's a fascinating stat. And he's under the pump, I'm telling you, he's under the pump.
Manly, at the odds of $41 to win the comp, Sydney, out go Akula Uwate and Trent Hodkinson. In comes Kane Elgee. And also I guess we'll say Des Hasler comes in as well.
Des Hasler comes in. There's not a lot of movement there.
No.
It's not causing me a lot of movement. Who's been training the house down up there?
Well, word on the Brookvale pothole line streets is new outstanding allegation early.
Who are you going to name after this? This is outrageous. We have to get our lawyers in on this one.
Outstanding rookie who loves the movie Rocky, Cade Cust, the CC, the corn chip, the Dorito, the nacho.
The rock spider.
He's already nudging for a first grade spot as long as he can avoid the salsa. Prediction from Manly, Sid.
I've got them coming 14th.
Moving on really quickly, Andrew.
Real quick.
What do you reckon, mate?
Yeah, I've got them coming 13th.
Yeah, I've got them 14th as well. I don't see them doing too much. Is the coach under the pump?
Yes, they've sacked him before. They've got a lot of work to do up there, especially on the grass and everything. It's top to bottom. remodeling up there. I don't. Yeah, I think if he doesn't, if he doesn't, will you stop?
Oh Jesus!
If he doesn't have results quickly, they're going to get the shits with Desi again at Manly.
Coach under the pump up there, Andrew.
No, nah, mate. Who wants to coach there?
Well, I say that, and plus they haven't got enough money to sack him again. So, you got a Manly super stat, Andrew?
Sure, mate. 2018 was Manly's worst defensive season since Hassler began his coaching career back in 2003. So that doesn't augur well. And if the fragile Trbojevic has an injury-free season, Manly might sneak into the eight, but I can't see that happening.
What about you, former? What are your very unreliable stats? What do you got? Well,
by the time round one rolls around, Andrew, this year, it will have been 2,722 days since Des Hasler last coached a Manly team in an NRL game. In that time, Des recently told reporters how much things have changed at the club since he was there last. He pointed out three huge differences since October 2, 2011, namely a new pot plant, three new garden chairs and a kettlebell.
Yeah, very good.
That's rock solid.
I don't think there's any rocks there. They couldn't afford them. They might be their weights in a bag. The Storm, boys, at $8.50. Out goes Tim Glasby. Out goes Billy Slater, Ryan Hoffman, and Riley Jacks. In, well, nobody of note, to be honest.
Yeah?
No.
Who's been training the house down there?
Ryan Pappenhuysen. The Pappenhuysen, the Pap, the smear, the lady garden swipe, has been leaving gaping holes in his wake when he gets hold of the ball.
Yeah, good one.
Where have you got them running, Sid?
I got them.
The Pap led, the smear led Storm.
Wow, I've got them coming fourth. They'll be there or thereabouts again, but here's my big tip. They will not win the comp.
Oh, geez, that's brave.
They'll go close, but they won't win.
Andrew, where are you going to run them?
Hey, I've got them fifth, and I agree. I don't think they'll be in the grand final this year.
Yeah, see, he agrees with me. What have you got?
I've got them fifth as well. Is the coach under the pump?
Sure. We've put him under the pump every year I've done this. Yes, as Normie would say, first one out.
Andrew, is the coach under the pump at Melbourne?
Mate. Bellamy owns the pump, mate. He's not under any stress.
I just don't see it either myself. What's your super stat for the Storm? Geez, that's Kenny Callender's nightmare, that sentence.
Well, this will be Melbourne's first full season where Cameron Smith will be playing without Cronk or Slater in the side. And the last time that happened was in 2002. And in that year, the Storm finished 10th.
Interesting. Do you reckon he's going to play hooker? There's talk they're going to move him.
Is it?
Yeah, is that fair to
where?
5'8".
No.
Is it just Furfies? Who's been...
No.
Where are we up to? What's your stat?
Well, this is the first year... I don't know whether Andrew knows this. This is the first year in over a decade that the big three at the Storm is now down to just one. I don't know if you knew that, Andrew. Although, in a fitting tribute, from all reports, Smith is still getting Slater and Cronk's paychecks. So...
Sounds about right.
Newcastle boys, $15 to win the comp. They're juicy odds.
I'm interested to see what you guys think of Newcastle. $15 to win the comp.
In comes David Clemmer. In comes Jesse Ramian. Great signing. In comes Mason Lino. But no sign of carpet or tiles. Out goes Brock Lamb and Jack Cogger, as well as Chris Heinington, who retired, and Jacob Lilliman. Sorry,
they have bought well, I think, yet again, Newcastle. Who's been training the house down up there, former?
Basami Solo. Can I get 500 grams of the Basami, thanks, and six slices of Devon? Basami has been massive in the deli and also massive out on the training paddock. I've got him running fourth, boys. What do you reckon?
What do you reckon, Andrew?
12.
Missed the eight.
I'm glad
you... You can't have that many changes to a roster that often in that number of years and expect the team to automatically be cohesive and start winning, I reckon.
I agree with you. I've got them coming 11th.
That's huge.
Yeah. What'd you have them?
Fourth.
Yeah. I was going to say, people are picking them top four, but those people are idiots. They're just going to miss the eight again, I reckon.
Aww.
Yeah.
Is the coach under the pump, boys?
I don't think so. I think even if they finish outside the eight, they'll find excuses for him yet again.
Andrew, coach under the pump?
Nah, mate. If they keep missing, if they miss out on getting the wooden spoon again, I think you'll stay.
I think he
totally
is absolutely under the pump. For the first time in his tenure, I reckon Brown's got a team that's stacked with some talent. Anything less than a top four spot is a failure, in my opinion. And word on the street is that a high-profile player has told anyone with two ears that drinks in pubs that Brown will be under the pump if they do miss the eight.
Interesting. Okay.
You got a super stat for the Knights fans, Andrew?
Sort of. Ponga will likely be in the halves this year. And my stats model suggests that it could take about three or four touches of the ball before he starts being compared to Andrew Johns.
Very good. Former, what do you got in the stats department?
Well, mine's a serious one for a change. The Newcastle Knights have five players on their list who have more vowels than consonants in their name, which is an NRL record.
Wow. How did you figure that out? I don't want to know.
The Cowboys are at $15 to win the comp. In comes Josh Maguire. Everyone loves Josh. Jordan Kahu, Nene McDonald. In comes Ben Barber. Out goes Ben Barber, Jonathan Thurston, and Lachlan Coote.
Who's been trading the house down up there, former?
Gideon Mosby. It's a real rugby league name, that, Sid. Gideon. Hopefully you can live up to all the previous Gideons from days gone by. I mean, who can fit Gideon Gila Mosby? Well, that's him. Gideon Koruhu from Papua New Guinea. Gideon Mazembe from South Africa. And Gideon Watts, also from South Africa. Some big names there. And
big Gideons.
I mean, a bit of pressure on the young fella to play to their standards.
That's true.
Where you got them running?
I've got them coming 12th.
Where have you got them, Andrew?
I've got them at 10th.
Yeah, I've got them at 9th. Is the coach under the pump, though?
It's hard to say with him under the pump. He fielded some offers from Brisbane, if we're to believe the media. And they threw plenty of money at him to stay. They like him up there. Having said that, yes, he is under the pump. Because finishing 12th again up there, I think a lot of people will be pissed off.
Andrew, under the pump?
I think he will be next year if he has a bad year this year. I think he'll be given a bit of a free ride this year because he doesn't have Thurston there.
Yeah, I have something very similar written down, mate. I think just with the long-term contract and without JT, I think there'll be a little bit of leeway given.
They expect success up there, though.
To the man they call Paul Green, because that's his name. you got a super stat for the Cowboys?
Yeah, look, in 2005 and 2017, the Cowboys were both runners-up in the grand final, and on both occasions, they followed up the next year by missing the finals. In 2007, they returned to the finals, so if history repeats, the Cowboys will back in the eight this year.
I don't see it. What stats do you have, former?
Well, statistically, the Cowboys win just 27% of games without Jonathan Thurston. So on that stat, North Queensland will win just 7.02 games in 2019. The Eels, everyone's favourite team to laugh at, are paying $34 to win the comp. In comes Junior Paulo and Blake Ferguson.
Solid buys.
Out goes Corey Norman and Bo Scott, amongst others.
Any word on the street how they're training out there in their fancy new stadium?
Well, Maka Sivo has been the hill-running machine, but my Cumberland spies also tell me that Oregon Kafusi is an absolute ball of muscle. He's harder than a cat's head right now, Sid.
Excellent.
He's ready to go. What's your prediction for the Eels?
Stone cold motherless last.
Andrew, where have you got the Eels running, mate?
Yep, last.
Well, it's...
Well, you got them.
Well, we've got the free spins because I've got them for the wooden spoon as well. So it's three wooden spoons. It's like three Cleopatras, really. Is the coach under the pump?
I reckon even the Parramatta feature, you'd have to replay it. It'd be so disappointing. The coach is under the pump. B. Arthur will be the first one sacked.
Andrew, under the pump?
He's got to be, mate. He's been there too long without really any good results. So, yeah, I'd reckon this will be his last year if he doesn't get back in the finals again.
I think he's under the pump looking for empty cardboard boxes as we speak, mate. What's your super stat for the Eels? Give him some hope.
Well, I can't. ever since their most successful halfback in their game gave the game away in the 1990s, that's the undefeated Paul Kent. Parra have been struggling to find a decent halfback to replace him, and Moses has won just 43% of games at halfback for Parramatta.
That's true. It all went downhill when Kenty went off after 10 minutes in his one and only game.
No title since.
What stats have you got, former?
I've also got a Mitch Moses stat. He's never had a season where he has won more games than he has lost. In fact, in his whole career, Moses is currently at 37% in the win column. This year is his seventh season in the off, and in the off season, the Eels let Corey Norman go, so Mitch Moses has more control over a team. That's right, a man who's at 37% win percentage has more control over that team. So good luck, Para.
Good luck, B. Arthur. What a great coaching idea that was.
The Panthers, boys, everyone's smoky at $11 to win the comp. In comes Malachi, Joaquin Zalesniak, Tim Grant, and Ivan Judas Cleary.
Basically all West Tigers offcuts.
Out goes Tyrone Peachy, Trent Merrin, Corey Hawira Naira, and Christian Crichton.
Who's been training the house down under Ivan Judas Cleary's guidance? Former?
Well, stupidly, I've got Blake Ferguson, so clearly I wasn't fucking thinking when I've written that one.
You've cut and pasted that incorrectly. But I've got a stat for you since you buggered that up.
Hang on, let me go and find one.
Someone put this on Twitter the other day that since Ivan Cleary named a six-man captain pool yet again, Tim Grant has now had 11 captains in 2 years. There's a good stat for you.
Is that the sort of stability that wins premierships?
I don't think they're going to win the premiership, but I've got them coming second.
Andrew, where you got them running?
Yeah, I've got them at third.
Yeah, so have I. With that in mind, is the coach under the pump?
I think he will instantly be under the pump. Again, he's been sacked by this team. They look like they've got a good team. Can Cleary get them the premiership? I don't think so. I think he'll be under the pump.
Andrew, is he under the pump?
Nah, he's a smart man. He would have stocked up on no-dos in the off-season. He'll be fine.
He'll be fine.
If I was a Panthers fan, I'd panic the moment Ivan mentions a bus and getting on one. I'd say, given his history there, he might be under the pump because I don't think anyone's ever outsmarted Phil Gould.
I just can't see it working. Coaching your son.
Got a super stat over there, Andrew, for the Panthers.
Yeah, look, the one and only time in their history that they played more than three straight final seasons, they went and won the premiership in the fourth season. That was 1991. So they've actually played in the last three finals this year round. So if they get there again this year, if history repeats, they'll win the title.
It's a good stat.
Interesting.
What stat do you have?
Well, I can tell you now, a huge scare has run through the Panthers earlier in the preseason when they realised that in 2019, they'll only have five players on their list with hyphenated names, a stat that has traditionalists over there at Penrith shaking their collective heads. It's the lowest number of hyphens in a decade and has led to a late scramble by Penrith to have some of their players change their name by default. Expect big seasons from James Boney Maloney, Isaiah Yo-Yo, and Paya Pua Pants.
Not sure how reliable your stats are, but I like that one. That was a good one.
The Bunnies.
I actually thought you were going to say then that they only had five players in their squad who weren't captain.
How would you be being in that squad? How would you be not being a captain? You'd be like, ah.
Do you reckon he wanted to name his son captain, but it got a bit awkward, so he's like, just got to name everyone captain.
Just going to name five.
You get a captain's jersey.
Souths are paying $9. In comes a bloke by the name of Wanye Bennett. Out goes Angus Crichton over to the Roosters and also Anthony Seibold.
Who's been training the house down over there, former?
Well, my Redfern spies tell me that Billy Britton, the Brexit, has been enormous over the off-season, although there are question marks over Britton's dental health and personal hygiene.
He'll fit right in.
Where have you got him running?
I've got him coming seventh.
Andrew, where you got the Bunnies running?
I've got them second.
Second?
Second, that's huge.
Whoa.
Yeah. I've got them at sixth. Only because I'm starting to run out of places to put teams in the eight, if I'm honest.
Yeah.
Is the coach under the pump?
Yes, he is. I think there'll be a lot of talk, especially in the Sydney media. Now, the big Wheezy is down here again, and the talk will be that he's too old. If they lose a few in a row, they'll be trying to ship him back up to Brisbane.
Coach under the pump up there, Andrew?
I don't think so. The only reason why he's going to leave is if Brisbane want him back again.
Yeah, I don't think he's under the pump as much as any lady aged between 50 and 90 in the Redfern area. Got a super stat for the Souths fans.
Yeah, look, Wayne's coaching career is legendary, obviously, but he's remarkably poorer in Sydney than in Brisbane, and even more so at ANZ Stadium. So in Sydney, he's won 58% of games compared to 70% in Brisbane, and at ANZ, he's won just 51%.
That is an interesting stat. What stat do you have for us, former?
Rabbitohs captain John Sutton is the oldest man in the comp this year. He's so old that Wayne Bennett calls him Pops. He's so old that half the Rabbitohs team have to stand up and offer him a seat on the team bus. He's so old that at his age, flowers scare him. He's so old, Sid, that he doesn't buy green tomatoes anymore. He's so old that Google satellite views could identify his birthday cake last year because of all the candles. He's so old that he thinks Ray Warren is middle-aged. Sid, he's so old that the only reason he takes Viagra is so he doesn't roll out of bed in the middle of the night. He's so old that no one at the Bunnies is allowed to tell him to act his age in case he just goes and dies. He's so old, Dally Messenger was a ball boy on his debut. He's so old, Sid, that his foreskin is the least wrinkly part of his body. He's so old that when Russell Crowe was preparing for Gladiator, he interviewed John Sutton to find out what Maximus Decimus Meridius was actually like.
Wow. Well done.
You're welcome. That's the sort of stuff I'm hoping you bring to the table, Andrew, from now on. The Dragons,
bloody
boys.
I'm not Andrew. That's fine.
The Dragons.
That's Jibber.
Are $13 to win the comp. In comes Corey Norman.
Good signing.
And good for the culture.
Good for the culture of the club down there.
In comes Corbin Sims. Out goes Lisa Namu, Nenny McDonald, and Jason Nightingale.
Who's been training the house down there at Oaky Jubilee? What's it called now? It's called something else stupid. Know.
I'm happy to report, Sid, that my Wollongong spies have told me that the son of Wayne, young Josh Kerr, has been flogging himself on the training paddock and is set to have a great season.
That's good.
Where you got him coming, Andrew? This will be interesting.
Dragons, sixth.
Sixth?
Sydney?
Yeah. Look, I thought they'd finish in the eighth, but it hurt me, so I put him at 10th.
Ask me.
Where you got him?
Second.
Whoa.
I think, on all jokes aside, I know it's hard, all jokes aside, I think Corey Norman will actually put his head down and he will be an addition to that side.
Yeah, I totally disagree. Corey Norman's going to be the worst signing they've ever made.
I think Corbin Sims will actually bring something to the table as well. And the blokes that they've lost, Lisa Namau is probably the only one that I'd be concerned about losing. So I think they'll go all right, and I actually think they will run second. They'll go well to July and then go further into July.
Interesting.
With that in mind, is the coach under the pump?
No, he will re-sign at midnight before the season kicks off with a secret handshake in the moonlight at St. George Leagues Club.
Do you know that secret handshake, Sid?
I do.
Okay. Andrew, coach under the pump?
In the first half of the year, no.
No.
But maybe by the end of the year he could be.
I mean, you'd have to understand if he starts getting nervous around July and August.
He'll be re-signed on a long-term deal before then. You mark my words.
What's your Dragon super stat, Andrew?
Well, I'm sort of likened the Dragons to an alcoholic golfer. On the front nine, they're clear, focused, and leading the pack, and they hit the clubhouse at nine, sink a few beers on the back nine, and just ruin everything and fall apart. Because over the last 4 years, they've won nearly 65% of their games in the first half of the season, but just 37% in the second half.
Oh, huge.
What's your stat, former?
Nine players on the Dragons list have double letters in their names. Highlighted by Mitchell Allgood, who has two double L's and a double O. You could have to be an absolute idiot not to understand the significance of this phenomenon, Sid. Put simply, it means they'll start the season like a dog shot up the arse before spluttering into eighth place. And if you don't get that stat, you just don't get footy. And footy has two double O's too.
That's crazy symbolism right there from the Dragons.
Roosters are at $4.50 to win the comp. In comes Angus Crichton, Brett Morris, and Ryan Hall, probably 5 years too late. Out goes Blake Fingers Ferguson.
Who's been training the house down, former?
I've heard from my Coogee dealer that Brock Lamb has been running like lightning, mainly because Lamb is absolutely terrified of Nat and Egan Butcher.
Okay.
You're welcome. You'll get that tonight.
I'll get that later when I figure it out.
Where you got them finishing, Andrew?
I've got them as minor premiers.
Yeah.
So do I.
Yeah, I'm the same. I can't see how they won't be.
Yeah.
There's a wonderful rumour going around, but nonetheless, Is the coach under the pump?
Maybe, if that rumor is to be believed.
Andrew, coach under the pump?
Nah, he's locked in. He's solid.
Do you reckon he's under the pump?
His cheeks are. Have you seen him? Andrew's super stat for the Roosters. Write that time code down. Andrew's super stat for the Roosters. What do you got, mate?
They haven't won back-to-back titles since 1974-75, and that's so long ago that even Parramatta's won premierships since then. They've brought in talented local juniors, Brett Morris and Ryan Hall, and between them, they've scored 372 tries in 558 club games alone.
Wow. My stat attack. After the past four seasons of constantly taking pot shots at the Roosters and their amazing salary cap management, hint, hint, I was recently visited by some large gentlemen in suits who had a quiet chat to me and suggested in very polite tones that I might want to lay off the Roosters. They also prepared this statement that I would like to read out for the podcast. This is the most under the cap the Roosters have ever been. Thank you. The Warriors are paying $34 to win the comp. In comes Lisa Armour. Out goes Sean Johnson, Simon Mannering, what a shame, and Mason Lino.
Who, if anyone, has been training the house down over there.
Although I've heard Bunty Afoa has had his best preseason ever since.
Love Bunty.
My Auckland spies tell me that Hayes Perham, the Hayes, the purple, the Hendrix, has had massive solo training sessions all alone on the watchtower. thank you. Where have you got them coming, mate?
I've got them coming 9th.
Andrew?
14th.
Ooh.
That hurts.
They've lost too many halfbacks. They lost every halfback they had there. That's going to cause a bit of drama there, I think.
I've got them at 13th, so I'm actually with you. Is the coach under the pump?
No. Old Two Legs Kearney has just re-signed for a couple more years, I believe.
Yeah, he does. I actually said he is under the pump. Well, his left leg would be for sure.
But he's been re-signed.
Andrew, under the pump? Is the coach under the pump?
He should be, but he's not going to be. I think they're going to hold on to him for quite a while for some reason.
What's your super stat for the Warrior fans out there?
Only three coaches since 1908 have coached more games than Kearney and had a worse win percentage, and that's Len Stacker, Ron Hilditch and Tommy Radonikis. 2019, Kearney needs 7 wins to stay ahead of Tommy.
Ooh, cool. What's your stat?
Coach Tuira Nikau is entering his fifth year as a coach. 2018 was his first year he has coached a team that has won more games than they've lost. In fact, in 2018, the Warriors won 15 games. His three previous seasons, both at Parramatta and the Warriors, netted 17 wins in total.
Interesting.
That's right, Andrew.
7 more games
he's got
to win. I see
your stat and raise your mind. Interesting. The Tigers was in the previews with the Tigers. They're at $26.
Money
to win
for
the
jam.
Money for old rope, as Richie Benno would say. In comes super coach Michael Maguire and premiership winner Ryan Madison. Out goes Justin Pascoe and Kevin Nagama.
No great losses there. Who's been training the house down besides all of them?
My Concord spy tells me that Tyson Gamble has been smashing his personal best. So I have to be honest, Sid, when I heard Tyson's surname, I was a bit worried Tim Simona was trying to infiltrate his way back into the club in disguise. But apparently Tyson Gamble and Tim Simona are two very separate people. With that in mind, Sid, where do the Tigers run?
5th.
Ooh.
Yep. It's our year this year.
Andrew, where do the Tigers run?
I want them to be underdogs, so I've put them down as 11th.
Whoa.
That's about all we've got time for, Andrew. Thanks very much for joining us.
Thanks for your contribution this year. 11th?
Yeah.
Why?
I did say there's a logjam from 4 to 13.
Yeah. I've got them 5th. Where are you going to sneak in?
I got them at 8th.
Yeah.
Is the coach under the pump, boys?
No way, man.
Nope.
I'd say he's under the pump to be the first coaching immortal. That's what he's under the pump for. You got a super stat for the Tiger fans out there?
Yeah, I do. The Tigers finished 2018 in 9th place, and the first time in the history that they finished in 9th was 2004. And obviously the following year, they won the premiership. Also, just like in 2019 and 2005, Benji Marshall was fighting with a bloke whose surname was Reynolds over the 5'8" role. They had a former premiership winning winning coach at the helm. And the previous year's minor premiers were the Roosters, who, and also in 2004, there was a 36-year-old player with a surname Smith still running around. Lock him in.
Come on! I don't even need to hear your stats. I'm going to go lay $1,000 on him tomorrow. But what are your stats? Go on.
The Tigers will use 5 grounds for home games in 2019, the most in their franchise history. Thank you.
But we'll win the comp. Excellent.
Other predictions, boys, before we finish this segment of the show. State of Origin winner?
I've got New South Wales 2-1. It's going to be difficult. First game's up there in Queensland, and then the second one's over in Perth. But I think we'll beat them 2-1.
Andrew, where you got them?
Yeah, I'm going Blues 2-1 as well.
This will be the second year of a Blue dynasty. Mark my words.
Yeah.
We'll win about 10 in a row, I reckon. Who wins the Dally M in 2019?
Tedesco or Benji Marshall? I'm split.
Andrew, who wins the Dally M?
Luke Brooks. Why the hell not?
Yeah. Actually, can I change mine?
I don't see
I'm going to change mine to Tedesco or Luke Brooks.
I don't see anyone not winning the Dally M outside of Kalen Ponga. He is so, the media are so enamoured by this bloke. He will be the PM, the New South Wales Premier, and possibly a Cardinal after today's news. There's a few open spots coming up. Kalen Ponga will win everything this year, no matter how bad he plays. He can have 6 months off and still win. Top try scorer, boys. This will be an interesting one.
I have got top try scorer as Jennings, the one that just signed for the Tigers.
Robert Jennings?
Sure.
Who have you got, Dandrew?
I'll go with Tedesco.
I've got Robert Jennings.
Yeah, good tip.
Who's the first coach sacked?
B. Arthur.
I've got the golden girl, B. Arthur, as well. Andrew?
Lock it in, mate. Brad Arthur, for sure.
All right, before we go, a fearless prediction for 2019.
Raiders to make the 8 and go within 1 game of the grand final.
Oh, bang. I like it.
You like it?
Yep. Andrew, fearless prediction?
Gallon to go for another year.
Again, you're doing obvious stuff, mate.
I like it.
I'm a stats man, mate. I'm not a comedian.
Here's my fearless prediction for 2019. The two figureheads at the NRL, ARL, will be gone before July.
Yeah, that's a good tip. Interesting.
Now, don't forget, before we finish, Andrew has a Patreon for Rugby League Project. Check out the website, Rugby League, what is it? No, is it? RL Project, isn't it?
Rugby League Project, yeah. You got the link's on the Rugby League Project website as well, so you just go there and check it out, or just check out my Twitter. I'll be spamming it all the time.
And if you can help him out at Patreon, you'll also get access to some stats that might help you win tipping comps, might even help you win a few dollars each weekend on the punt. So if you're a serious punter, or if you're even just a casual tipster, subscribe to the Patreon, help the bloke out, keep the website running.
It is a great website.
Keep him on this show, and we'll see you not next week, but the week after, mate, if you're keen.
Yeah, mate, I'm always keen. I'll scratch up on my comedy a bit.
I thought you were doing it when you said we're going to run 11th.
You did well.
All right, mate. Thanks very much. We'll talk to you in a fortnight.
No worries, mate. Catches.
Full credit to the boys. For the first time in 2019, Sid, it's time for this.
Roll the sack. Open the sack. Empty the sack. The boy is sad.
Right, boys. Sack, mail, and feedback time. First of all, the leadership group.
Yes.
There will be an additional 2 people to the current leadership group, which will take it to 6.
That's exciting.
You can send your applications to the podcast Twitter handle at FCTTB_podcast.
Yes.
Leadership group 2019 hashtag.
Sure.
And just tell us why you should or shouldn't be part of the leadership group.
Yes.
If you want to be. It's cool if you don't. No dramas. Thank you for anyone who does a 5-star review. Thank you to all the new listeners if you're listening for the first time. This is as good as it gets. It gets downhill from here. We've got to
No, you're so negative. That's probably true. Thank you to everyone who voted for us at the podcast awards.
Oh, yes.
There has been some drama there. They sent me an email saying some people were cheating. So hopefully a few get busted for cheating. And we win by default.
There's one bloke
default,
there.
Default. Default.
In front of everyone by about 1,000 votes.
Yeah.
That I've never heard of.
Exactly.
And I listened to his podcast. Mate, he's doing it inside a tin can from what I can tell.
I know. Let's hope that we can hobble them and get in somehow because I want to go to the red carpet. I want to carry on like a dick at the podcast awards.
Thank you also. We said this last show, the end of 2018, but thank you for everyone who came to the live show at Penshurst. It was an outstanding day.
It was. They tell me it was.
Oh, what a massive, massive day.
I'm excited to do that again this year.
Well, with that in mind, this year, just as last year, you have to be a member of Full Career of the Boys to be eligible for a ticket to the show.
Yep.
This year, membership, we have set up an idea where it'll be more accessible for everyone.
Yeah, exactly.
Price-wise.
Yeah.
Which, because basically we want as many people to come to the live show to meet you all.
Yep.
With that in mind, there's two live shows.
Yeah, we could be doing two live shows.
Well, we are doing two live shows.
I haven't spoken to Oatley IGA yet, if I can get the days off. There'll be two live shows. Don't worry about that.
One will be in the middle of the year, possibly around an Origin.
Mm-hmm.
And then there'll be the grand final one.
Yep.
So, yeah, we'll tell you more and more as we learn more and more ourselves.
Yeah, as we sort that out.
If you're on iTunes, please subscribe. Thank you to anyone who does. Oh, also, if you're on any other Stitcher, whatever else they do,
yes,
please subscribe. Next week, no show.
No show next
Good
week.
Good start.
Why?
Because
I'm ready to go.
I'm going overseas.
Where are you off to?
To Terrigal.
Terrigal.
It's the Vanuatu of the Central Coast.
How come you didn't invite me?
Oh, I didn't know if your passport was
still...
You
want to have a good time?
Yeah.
Yeah, fair enough.
If your passport was still current. Yeah. Yeah, so I'm off to Terrigal for a week.
That'd be lovely. It's lovely up there
yeah.
this time of year.
Is it? I don't know. Is that it for this week?
That's it for this week.
All right, well, let's do a bedtime story.
Why not?
This will be the off-season drama edition.
Yep.
Strap yourselves in and enjoy the dulcet tones of @former_legend.
And we'll be back just before round one.
Say hello to your dad for me.
Ta-da. Gather round, everyone. It's time for Former Legends. Story
time! This story comes from Picture Magazine number 1467 with nude sisters on the front, and it's titled Queasy Rider. I was looking to having my first route since my motorcycle accident, spending 2 weeks in hospital. I'd been pitching a tent under the sheets for days, so when my girlfriend, Lorraine, came to pick me up and told me she was hot for a...
Ben Barber.
Two, I could hardly wait to get home and get my...
Jack DeBell in.
Sucked. I had a fractured pelvis and leg and a few chunks out of my face and bumps and bruises all over me. And the docs had told me to take it easy until they could see how things were healing up. But when you're 21, you don't give a rat's ass. So when we got back to my place and Lorraine helped me out of my jeans and lay me down on the bed, so far, so good. She gave me some gentle
cheekam
to get me ready, also good, then straddled me, shoved my
Greg Inglis
up her
Blake Ferguson
and started rocking back and forth. And that's when the pain started. Every time she slid forward, it felt like someone was kicking me in the hip with steel cap boots on. And then she slid back, my leg felt like it was going to snap. Not only that, the sweat started stinging every little wound on my body. But I was determined to get one off, and she seemed to be enjoying herself, so I gritted my teeth and kept going. When she gave a particularly vigorous shove from her hips, I nearly passed out from the pain, so I suggested we change positions. We tried the...
Jared Hayne.
But I couldn't get any traction, and spooning was just as bad. So we chucked it in, and she gave me a combo...
Dylan Napa, Kane Evans.
Which was average. I had to wait weeks before I could...
Dylan Walker.
...her properly. It was good when it finally happened. The end.
And that was Former Legends...